Thank you, Joy. It's nice to have our accompanist back tonight. We're going to have her for 2 weeks? 2 weeks. All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 38 from your spiral hymn book, from the Gospel Hymns hymn book. Number 38, The Debt of Love. Let's all stand together.
Come, every sinner saved by grace, you who by faith God's Son embrace, tell all who hear your voice below, the debt of love to Christ you owe. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. He left his Father's throne above and came to earth on wings of love. For us he lived, the perfect man, and so fulfilled the law's demand. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Jesus endured his Father's ire and died at the appointed hour. What he endured no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From death's dark grave our King arose and triumphed over all our foes. Up through the skies the victor rode and reigns on high, our Savior God. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From heaven Christ will quickly come and bring his ransomed people home. There we shall see his lovely face and chant the praises of his grace. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee.
Please be seated.
Good evening. We're going to be reading from Psalm 4 for our call to worship tonight. Psalm 4. I so appreciated what Michael said Sunday, that it's God that calls us to worship, and he does that by his word. And I don't know of a place in the scriptures that he's more clear in calling us into his presence than this one. So, Lord willing, we'll be looking at Psalm 4 next Wednesday night. Tonight we're going to be in Psalm 3. So, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Now that word leasing is lying. All men are liars. God alone tells the truth. We are so prone to vanity, aren't we? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. God the Father. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 11, you remember when at the resurrection of the resuscitation of Lazarus, he said, Father, I know that thou always hear me. The Father always hears the Son. And we pray to God through Christ, believing that God is, well, obligated to hear the prayers of Christ. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. The Lord would still us. He would enable us in this hour to put aside all those things that would distract us from him. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now that's a redundancy. Because putting your trust in the Lord is offering the sacrifices of righteousness. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that there's corn and wine increased. The joy that the Lord gives by his Spirit in our hearts is better than the happiness that we experience from the good things that he provides. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Not safe anywhere else. Oh, but how safe I am with him. Mary's mother, Carol, is still hanging on. She's not on life support, hasn't had any food or water or anything since last Wednesday, a week now. So mostly unresponsive. So continue to pray for Mary as she cares for her. She's in Mary's home. So, all right, let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd be pleased now for Christ's sake to show us your glory, your mercy, and your grace. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would reveal to us just another glimpse of the glory of thy dear Son. That we would know that he is all our righteousness, all our safety, all our hope, all of our true rejoicing is in him. Lord, we are such in need for you to help us in our vanity and in our leasing. Lord, we get so bound up in the things of this world and in the weakness of our own flesh. Lord, we come before your throne of grace, declaring with that Roman soldier, Lord, we believe, help thou our unbelief. We know that the Spirit is willing because you've given us the Spirit of Christ. But Lord, our flesh is weak. And we pray now that for Christ's sake, you would be pleased now to give us some rest and comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue to pray for Carol, and we ask, Lord, that you would be merciful to her. Pray that you would be pleased to give her understanding and hope in the things that she's heard. We pray for Mary as she cares for her, Lord, that you would give her comfort and peace and mercy as she waits on you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's all stand together again. We'll sing hymn number 125, From Your Hardback Hymnal 125.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Please be seated.
Psalm 3. I've titled this message, From Trouble to Blessing. If you notice in verse 1, David says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? And then in verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. So he starts out in trouble and he ends up rejoicing in blessing. Now the Psalms are written in such a way as to teach us what God has done in the lives of his people in times past. These are David's experiences. And we're encouraged to know that the Lord loves all of his children, and what he does for one, he does for all. And to see what the Lord's hand was pleased to do in the life of David gives us encouragement to know that he cares for us in the same way that he cared for David. These psalms are also our experience. We see our own trouble with our sin and with our flesh, the world in which we live, the contradiction that we are to ourselves, and the things in this world that are contrary to everything we believe, we're in trouble. And yet, the third way in which we understand these Psalms is that they're all speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ. When David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, this is all my salvation and all my desire. Normally when we think about that verse, we think about that's our experience. That the tabernacle of this flesh, my home life, nothing is as it ought to be. Yet the hope of our salvation is that he made with us an everlasting covenant. But I want you to think about that final words of David as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to the Father on behalf of his church, saying to the Father, although my house be not so, my people aren't the way they ought to be, yet God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and made sure by my shed blood, and the Lord Jesus Christ saying, this is all my salvation, this is all my desire, though he make it not to grow. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't grow by one person, does it? Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same size today as it was before Adam was formed out of the dust. It's the same size today as it will be in eternity. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's elect people, chosen in that covenant of grace, the body of Christ. And so it is with these Psalms. David, when David speaks, he's speaking prophetically. Notice the title of this psalm, and I remind you that the titles are actually part of the text, even though they're normally written in small print and we think of them as parenthetical. They're really not. They're part of the text. And so where it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. That was the circumstances that this psalm was written under. And if you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 15 and 16 and 17 and read the experience that David had in fleeing from the murderous treason of his own son, and how David had to flee Jerusalem, and the scripture says that he and his men were barefooted, weeping, going through the Kidron Valley and up the Mount of Olives. Now that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did the night that he was arrested, the son of David. You see, these things are prophetic. What happened to David is pointing to what would happen 1,000 years later to the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he went weeping across the Kidron Valley and up the Mount of Olives. And he didn't just weep tears of water from his eyes as David did. He wept drops of blood. He sweat drops of blood, didn't he? Cried out to his father, Father, if there be any way this cup can pass from me, let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he went to the cross all by himself. Forsaken by his own people, by his own disciples. They weren't even able to pray with him in the garden, were they? He kept going back and finding him asleep. Could you not pray with me for 1 hour? No, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, isn't it? And so this picture of David's crying, and he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Now we can only imagine the grief that David was experiencing. His house was a mess. David had a son by the name of Amnon who was older than Absalom. And Amnon fell in lust with Absalom's sister Tamar and raped her. There's no other way to put it. He forced her. And Tamar was shamed as a result of that because Amnon wanted nothing to do with her after that. And Absalom, Tamar's brother, plotted for 2 years to get Amnon. And finally, he planned a big gathering and got all of David's sons to come and told his servants, when you see Amnon drunk, kill him. And they did. And one of the servants ran back to David and told David, Absalom has killed all of your sons. He's killed them all. And
And David, thinking that everything was lost and Absalom had, in his rage, killed everybody, another servant finally came and said, oh no, just Amnon's the only one, the only one. But as a result of that, Absalom had to be exiled for 2 years, or 3 years, I think it was, actually. And finally, Joab, you remember, convinced David to let Absalom come back. And Absalom came back, and now Absalom stays in Jerusalem for 2 years. And he sits at the city gate, and every time somebody comes with a complaint, Absalom says to them, he says, if I was king, I'd take care of your needs. And the scripture says that he stole the hearts of the people from his father. After having killed his brother, after all the things that took place, and David knows that all of this is happening as a result of what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. The Lord said, the sword will never depart from your household. And all of this came as a result of sin. And all the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced in his cries to the Father and in his going up on the Mount of Olives came as a result of sin, didn't it? And all the problems that we experience in our lives come as a result of sin, don't they? You see, we've got trouble. Our trouble is our sin. That's our trouble. It's nothing else. It's not our circumstances. It's our sin. If we were able to believe God without sinning, our circumstances wouldn't bother us a bit, regardless of whatever they were. They wouldn't. But it's our unbelief, isn't it? It's our sin that causes us our trouble. And so David has to flee. Absalom goes and puts together an army and marches in on Jerusalem. And David knows that if he doesn't flee, Absalom, there's going to be a war, and a lot of people are going to die. And so David flees the city and turns it over to Absalom. And that's when Shimei, you remember, cursed David. Now, this is important because these are the things that this is when David wrote this psalm. He wrote this psalm in the midst of these circumstances. He was in trouble. He was weeping, crying out to God. He was shamed. He felt guilt and remorse over what he had done with Uriah and Bathsheba and all the consequences of that, and the fact that he was such a poor father, never disciplining his children, and Absalom, being the way he was. David knew what was going to happen. And so Shimei curses David and throws rocks at him. And one of David's servants wanted to go cut his head off. And David said, no. He said, the Lord has bidded him to curse me. Leave him alone. He said, my own son has turned against me. What is his cursings to me? And what do we see there? We see a picture of God the Father forsaking the Lord Jesus Christ because of our sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ receiving the cursings of men who would say, he believed in God. Let God save him now. Let God save him now. If he be the Son of God, come down off that cross. You see, Shimei, and then Ahithophel was David's trusted advisor. And Ahithophel stays behind and advises Absalom. You know how Ahithophel died? David prayed that God would turn Ahithophel's counsel against him. And so Ahithophel counsels Absalom on what to do, and Absalom doesn't receive his counsel. And Ahithophel goes home, and the scripture says he gets his house in order, and he hangs himself. He does the same thing that Judas did. You see, all these things are prophetic. They're all symbolic. They're all typical of what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to experience. David is a type of Christ. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the shepherd of Israel. He's the king. He's a man after God's own heart. And he pictures what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go through. So as we read this psalm, we see, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Ahithophel has risen up against me. Shimei has risen up against me. My own son has risen up against me. The people have all turned against me. Absalom has turned the hearts of all the people towards himself, away from David. And David, when he first leaves Jerusalem, he takes the ark with him. And about halfway up Mount of Olives, just outside the city, he says to Zadok, he says, take the ark back. Put it back in the temple. He said, if God is for me, I'll return. And if he's not, I'll die. David trusted the Lord to bring him back. And it, as it turned out, you know the rest of the story, that a battle did ensue within just another chapter or two of 2 Samuel. And Absalom is killed. And everything is restored. David is also shamed in that he leaves 10 of his concubines behind in Jerusalem. And Ahithophel counsels Absalom. He says, take your father's concubines and go into them. And so Absalom pitches a tent on the roof of the house in the midst of all the city so everybody can see. And Absalom takes all of his father's concubines and shames his father publicly in that regard. David is broken. He's a broken man. He's got no place to go. He's got no hope unless God intervenes and saves him. The Lord Jesus Christ was broken, wasn't he? A contrite spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ had that spirit. We're going to see that in a prayer that the Lord prays in Psalm 40. But and that's who the Lord gives grace to. He gives grace to those who are broken over their sin. He breaks us over our sin. That's the blessing. We're going to get to that in just a moment. We get to this last verse. But I want you to see that with David's experience, because David is left with no place to go except to trust God. If the Lord shows us our sin, we'll know that there's not a single thing we can do to fix it. Not a thing we can do to fix it. God's going to have mercy on us. He's going to have to charge it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to have to credit the righteousness of Christ to our account. We can't do anything. Our house is not as it ought to be. Verse 2, many there be which say of my, that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Isn't that what they wagged their heads, they pointed their fingers. They said, let God help him now. Even those crucified next to him, the two thieves railed at him. And then how oftentimes you and I experience doubt when our sin rears its ugly head, and the accuser of the brethren would have us to look to the evidence of our salvation in our lives. And what do we conclude? There's no help for him from God. The only time we ever get any comfort is when we're enabled by the Spirit of God to look to Christ and to believe that God is pleased with him and what he did. And that's what's going to happen. Look, but thou, O Lord, art a shield. Lord, you're my shield. Now, the first time that word is used is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, when God is establishing his covenant promises with Abraham, and he says to Abraham, Abraham, fear not, for I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. Abraham, I'm your shield. I'm your protector. That word also is translated buckler in the scriptures in some places. But it's a wall of protection. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, when the armor of faith is given, the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth, and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the scripture says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. The fiery darts of the devil. The devil's got one objective in your life and my life, and that's to rob Christ of his glory, to get us to look somewhere other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what David's saying here is, but, O Lord, thou art my shield. God said to Abraham, I am your shield. And when the scripture speaks in Ephesians chapter 6 of the shield of faith, he's not talking about, okay, I've got to have my faith to lift it up and be my shield. The shield of faith is Christ. You see, we're not saved by our faith. Faith is that which connects us to Christ. We're saved by him. We're saved by him. I am your shield. Your faith isn't your shield. I'm your shield. I'm the one that's going to quench those fiery darts of the devil. I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm the one that's going to deliver you from all of your troubles, from all of your sin. Look what else he says in verse 3. My glory. My glory. The Lord Jesus Christ had perfect faith, didn't he? He had the shield of faith. And when Satan tempted him, what did he say? What did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. For him only shalt thou serve. Satan wasn't. Satan is not in competition with Christ. Don't think that for a moment. Don't think that God and the devil are fighting with one another. The devil is God's devil. Satan belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll use him for his glory just like he'll use everything else. And he restrains him. He's only able to do. You remember when he tempted Job? Satan had to go to the Lord to be, and he could only do exactly what the Lord gave him permission to do. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The devil is God's devil. I find so much comfort in that, in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered him. He's conquered him. He's defeated him. That's what he said. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because they'll go to my Father. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Satan has been judged by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those held captive to him were delivered through the sacrificial death, substitutionary atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has no power. Not over God. Not over God. So, Satan, we experience his power in our own lives, don't we? And that's all the more reason for us to say with David, but thou art my shield. You're the one that's going to have to quench the fiery darts of the devil. You're the one that's going to have to be my exceeding great reward. You're going to have to be the one to whom I set my affections on. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I'm sorry, verse 3. Thou art my shield. Thou art a shield for me. My glory. My glory. Christ in you is your hope of glory. And Paul said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me. Me. How do I know if I know him? That I am the Lord, which execute loving kindness. That's grace. Judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. The Lord Jesus Christ executed grace. Our salvation is all of grace, isn't it? It's all a free gift of God. Judgment, the justice of God was satisfied by the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross. God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers us of our sin. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice has been satisfied. Judgment has been executed against Satan, and righteousness has been established. We have a righteous advocate with the Father. Let him that glory in this. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, where the gospel is given to us very simply and clearly, in three times in that chapter it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And then what David said in Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory. For thy truth and for thy mercy's sake. It's all about his glory, isn't it? Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth and understandeth the Lord. That's why Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 33, after Moses had seen all those glorious demonstrations of God's power, the plagues in Egypt, the burning bush, the mountain that quaked. Moses wasn't satisfied, was he? What did Moses say? Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And what did God say? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Moses? I'm going to show you my glory, but I'm going to have to hide you in a rock. There is a place near unto me. I'm going to have to put you in Christ in order for you to see my glory. Nothing's changed, has it? And I'm going to call to my goodness to pass before you. And I'll have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And whom I will, I'll harden. I'll save in the manner in which I save. And I'll get all the glory for it. I'll get all the glory. It really is all about his glory, isn't it? It's not about us. It's about his glory. And David says here, I was in trouble. I was fleeing from my own son. The whole nation had turned against me. I'm feeling the guilt. David didn't just commit adultery with Bathsheba. He killed Uriah and 100 men. Murdered them. Might as well just taken them and done it himself. And he knew all this was happening as a result of that. And can you relate to that? Isn't that what we, you know, Lord, I know I'm bringing all this upon myself. Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. But you're going to be my shield. And you're going to be my glory. And look what else he says. And the lifter up of my head. David's head was lifted up, although it took Absalom's head to be taken off for that to happen. David was restored. The Lord Jesus Christ's head was lifted up. He bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross and gave up the ghost, believing in his dying breath that God was going to honor the covenant and bring him back to life. Lift up his head. My head's bowing now. I'm dying on behalf of my people, but God's going to lift up my head. He's going to lift up my head. You know what? When he's pleased to reveal Christ in us, he lifts up our head, doesn't he? The guilt, the shame, the burden of sin, the Lord takes it away when he gives us hope in Christ. Now it comes back, doesn't it? We have to keep hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, because that burden just, it'll come back so quickly, won't it? One of the brothers was telling me Sunday, he said, I'm just so thankful I was here, and I'm just so encouraged. I said, probably about halfway home, somebody's going to cut me off on the road, and I'm going to have evil thoughts about them. You know, that's about how long it takes, doesn't it? But he does lift up our head, and one day, our head will never bow again. Our eyes are going to be fixed on him. And we're never going to feel the shame or the guilt or the burden of sin ever again. The memory of it will be gone. And all we'll see is his glory. He's the lifter up of our head. Verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Why does he hear out of his holy hill? You know that's a picture of the church. Why does he hear out of his holy hill? Well, look over in the chapter 2, Psalm 2, verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You see, there's no access to God without being a part of his church, without being in the body of Christ. Now, I know there's some brethren that are watching the service right now that are grieved over the fact that they're not able to be a part of a local assembly. And that's not what I'm talking about. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you want to be where God's people are. And if at all possible, you will be. You will be. We don't shame people to come to church or try to manipulate them. If they're part of the body of Christ, this is where the gospel's preached. This is where my head's lifted up. But there are some individual believers that for one reason or another aren't able to be where God's people are gathered together. And I want to encourage them to know that being a part of the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated upon his holy hill. You come to Christ through the church. There's no members of the body of Christ that are disjointed from his church. They're all part of his church. And he sits on his holy hill, and we have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's interceding on our behalf. So that's why David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And I'm so thankful that David said that, with my voice. You know, we have a lot of thoughts, don't we? And I think part of that is praying without ceasing. You know, if we've got the Spirit of God, he's constantly reminding us and causing us to think about Christ. But, you know, there's a place for verbalizing. I'm not talking about public prayers. I'm talking about it. Just verbalize your need to him. Don't just think about it. Express with your voice. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. No, out of the issues of the heart, the mouth speaks. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. You know, all of Absalom's advisors were telling him, go get David. And they did. They pursued David. But David, in faith, was able to lie down and sleep in the midst of all of his trouble. He believed God. And most importantly, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ lying down in the grave, isn't it? In the sleep of death, believing that the Lord would raise him again. And oh, how I hope that God will give us that peace to be able to lie our heads down at night and sleep, trusting God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And when Job said that, he wasn't very trusting, but the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured in that prayer too, isn't he? Though he slay me, and he did. It pleased the Father to bruise him. God slew his only Son, yet will I trust him. I await, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves round against me round about. Would the prophet say to his servant, don't worry about those Assyrians. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. How is it? Open his eyes, Lord, that he might see. That he might see. If God be for me, who can be against me? Lord, enable me to trust you so that though the whole world turn against me, though my mother and my father turn against me, yet the Lord will not forsake me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, ever. It's just me and God. That's all I've got, nothing else. But we've got so much more than that, don't we? We have each other. To encourage one another in our own experiences. Arise, verse 7. Arise, O Lord. I wanted to go back with me to verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I wanted to speak just quickly about the Lord Jesus Christ there. He cried unto the Lord with his voice, didn't he? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They have no idea how bad their sin is. Lord, forgive them. He cried unto the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken by the Father because of the imputation of sin. God made him sin. Turn me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. Now, this is quoted in Hebrews. This is clearly speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. The Lord Jesus Christ is pleading his case to the Father, saying, Father, I've been faithful. I've been faithful. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I've told them everything. The words which thou hast given me, John chapter 17, I've given them unto them, and they believed me. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. He bowed his head, not able to look up. When he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wasn't looking up into heaven when he said that. His head was bowed. Why? Because he was feeling the shame, the burden of our sin. The Lord lift up his head. I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And now, because the Father answered that prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to us, come now, come to the throne of grace, and come with confidence, come boldly. It doesn't mean with a cocky spirit, it means with confidence. We are the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. All our confidence is in Christ. Come to the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness to find help and grace in your time of need, in your time of trouble, for your sin. Come. And now David's saying, go back with me to our text. David finally said, Father, into thy hands I commend the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. The Lord Jesus Christ was not afraid of the people. Arise, O Lord, save me, my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Defeated sin, defeated Satan, conquered the grave, fulfilled the law. All that would devour us, his teeth has been broken. The Lord Jesus Christ has gotten the victory. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It's his. It's his. And what you have, what you own, you have the right to use it however you want. To give it to whoever you want, to loan it to whoever you want, to share it with whoever you want, to withhold it from whomever you want. It's yours. And that's what the Lord's saying. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. It's his. And he'll have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And that'll cause a sinner to become a mercy beggar, won't it? Lord, I've got no claims on your salvation. I've got nothing to bring you, to obligate you to save me. It's yours to give. And if you cast my soul into hell, you have the sovereign right to do it. Oh, how I need you to save me. How I need you to be merciful to me. It belongs to you. And no one's ever asked him. No one's ever come to him like that, where he's turned him away. I will in no wise cast you out. You see, people don't come to him that way. People don't come to him that way. They come, men come to, the men that are turned away from God are those who come with something in their hand. And the Lord rejects every one of them. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings. I was talking to a guy the other day, and we were in a store. He's my age, and he was saying, he was very religious, and he said, the best blessing in life is good health, isn't it? And I said, well, you know, not really. He said, what do you mean? I said, the best blessing is salvation. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, and that too. How am I blessed? You know, people talk about being blessed of God. And they talk about their possessions being a blessing. I'm thankful for the things the Lord's given us. But, you know, if we didn't have them, would we not be blessed? What about children? Children are a blessing, generally speaking. But what about those that have never been, have children? Are they not blessed? You see, what is it? What is the real blessing? We are always thinking of blessings in terms of physical things, aren't we? Comfortable house, plenty to eat. I'm thankful for those things, and I know they come from the Lord. Turn to me in closing to Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if I've been blessed. Now, a lot of people read these Beatitudes and say, well, if I can somehow develop a poor in spirit attitude, then I'll be blessed of God. They got it backwards. You got the cart before the horse. It doesn't work like that. The poor and broken spirit is the blessing. It is the blessing. Lord, I don't have anything. I can't do anything. I don't know anything. I'm completely dependent upon you. Salvation belongs to you. Lord, I am poor, poverty stricken. I don't have any money. I can't buy salvation from you. I can't barter with you for it. I'm poor. If you're poor, then you've been blessed. That's the real blessing, isn't it? That's where it all begins. Matthew, talk to people all the time that, you know, they've got a problem with this or that. And it always comes back to the fact that God's just not made them a sinner yet. He just hadn't made them a sinner yet. Once they become a sinner, you know, progressive sanctification goes out the window. Limited atonement is no problem. All that comes together when God makes you to be a sinner. It all starts right here. Poor in spirit. That's the blessing. Has God blessed you? Blessed are they that mourn. Oh, if I just mourn enough, I'll be blessed. Oh, no, the mourning is the blessing. If God's broken you, given you nothing to look to but the Lord Jesus Christ for the hope of your salvation, mourning over your sin. Lord, I can't justify it. I can't excuse it. There's no reason for it. And I see what it did to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will mourn after him, whom they have pierced, as one mourneth for his only son. Blessed are the meek. Well, if I can just be meek, I'll be blessed. Oh, no, meekness is the blessing. It is the blessing. If you're a sinner and God's given you a broken and contrite spirit over your sin, you're meek. You're meek. You're not proud. You're not self-righteous. You're humble. That's the blessing. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, if I just hunger and thirst enough, I'll be blessed. No. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness is looking for more of Christ. And that is the blessing.
Blessed are the merciful. All my salvation is by mercy. Pure mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. I've got a single eye towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a new nature that's perfect. Sinless. Sinless. I'll take out that heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. My old man is still nothing but sin, but I've got a new nature that's perfectly righteous before God. The thoughts of my salvation can only be on Christ. Single eye towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers. I have peace with God. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. His shed blood has given me peace with God. He's my peacemaker. I've been blessed with Christ. David started out with trouble, didn't he? Started out with great trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross in great trouble. But he looked to the Father. He cried with his voice to the Father. He looked to the Father. And God lifted up his head. And in the end, he was blessed. He was rewarded for his work with the blessing of a bride. And in him, we're blessed. We start out with great trouble. But we look to him to lift up our head and bless us with his grace. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and cause us, Lord, to believe what you have said. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 12.
Let's stand together. Number 12.
Combine to be still my heart and doubt no more. Believe and find sweet rest. God's wisdom, love, and truth and power combine to make thee blessed.
Thank you, Joy. You've been practicing? It's like it never left.